Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is indeed risen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are, the second Sunday of Easter. Here we are with our Alleluias restored and our glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here we are in our own upper room of a kind, but the doors are not locked here. All are welcome here. All are welcome to come and hear the news of the crucified and risen Christ. And guess what? Just as Jesus was able to make it through the doors that were locked by the disciples because they feared the Jews, just as he suddenly appeared among them and stood among them and spoke to them, so Jesus is here as well. No locked door can keep Jesus away from his people. Imprisonment and persecution cannot keep Jesus away from his people. Suffering, sickness, and death cannot keep Jesus away from his people. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And we could go on and on and on with that for the next 10 minutes and call it a sermon, but we won't. Do you ever have doubts? Are you ever like Thomas, or have wished that you could be Thomas and see the wounds in Jesus' hands and feet, to put out your hand and to place it in his side, and then you would believe that Jesus has risen from the dead? Have you ever wondered if it is true or not? Well, if you haven't, you are a far better and more devout Christian than I am. Because doubt, I would say, is a part of faith. When we struggle with doubt, our faith is tested. And God strengthens us by his word, by his spirit, if our doubts are honest. Some people say, people who were once Christians say they no longer believe because there is a particular sin that they love more than they love Jesus. And how convenient it is to say, I don't believe, so you can sin in that manner without guilt, without being conscience-stricken. It has been said that every Sunday is a little Easter, because every Sunday we, the redeemed of Christ, gather to worship the resurrected one. But it could also be said that every Sunday is also a little Good Friday, because not only do we remember the risen one, we also remember the crucified one. I want to lay something out before you. Which are people more likely to doubt? The crucifixion of Christ or his resurrection? We have basically the same authorities telling us of the crucifixion and the resurrection. The four Gospels and then the writings of Paul and other New Testament writings. You don't have testimony from Tiberius Caesar that Christ was raised from the dead. You don't have that testimony from Tiberius Caesar about his death. What I'm saying is that we have equal authority for the resurrection that we do for Christ's crucifixion, the Word of God. So, I am sure that none of you doubt the fact that our Lord Jesus was crucified. Again, the Gospels attest to this. The law, the prophets testify that this will happen to the Christ of God. The apostles who wrote the New Testament epistles attest to this. And again, it's the same thing for the crucifixion of Christ. So what I would say is belief in the crucifixion entails belief in the resurrection as well. The two go together. They are both God's saving acts or act in Christ. They are both God's work to win forgiveness and salvation for you, His people. Do away with the crucifixion, and of course you haven't a resurrection. Do away with the resurrection, and all you've got is a dead Jew moldering away in a grave somewhere. And if Christ was not been raised, as Paul writes, our preaching is in vain, our hope is in vain. Having said that, I can relate to Thomas, and you can too. I think Thomas has been unfairly labeled as doubting Thomas. I mean, it's like, doubt once and you got to wear that sign around your neck the rest of your life. Thomas is our representative, if you were. We see Thomas's doubts, and we see how he was restored to faith. And we know that the same thing happens to us when we doubt. No, we don't see Jesus crucified. No, we don't see the wounds in his hand and in his side. But listen again to what John says at the end of today's epistle, the Apostle John, the beloved disciple. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the book. In other words, Jesus did a whole slew of things that I didn't have room to record. If I had, it would have filled all the libraries and all the books in the world, and there would have still been stuff to write about. But these are written, John continues, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is God's Son, our Savior, and that by believing you may have life in His name. You are more blessed than Thomas was. Thomas's confession of faith is one of the high points of the Gospel of John. My Lord and my God, it's as if he were saying, you are my Lord, you are my God. And Jesus pronounces a blessing upon him, but he pronounces a greater blessing upon you and me. Have you believed because you have seen me? Jesus asks Thomas, and then he speaks of us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There are a lot of things that we do not see in life, in our Christian life, and in our life in the world. Has anyone beheld Jesus' actual body in the bread, his actual blood in the wine? You could take the communion elements to a chemist and he could analyze them and it would be bread. It would be wine. The body and blood of Christ would not show. So we don't believe that Christ is truly present for us in the Lord's Supper because of some sort of chemical laboratory analysis. We believe upon the words of Christ. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. And again, baptism Well, the salvation and forgiveness of sins that Christ gives us, his people, in our baptism is not something that can be scientifically proven either. That doesn't mean it's not untrue. It is true. Jesus' words say he gives us his body and blood. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, attests to these things. But think about it this way. Can feelings of compassion be chemically analyzed? Can feelings of love be chemically analyzed? No, they can't. So we should not expect proof in that way, that Jesus is whom the scriptures say he is, and that he has done what scriptures say he has done, and that he gives us what he says that he gives us. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. My father was a brilliant man. He was an educator, a principal. He taught many, many subjects as a high school teacher. He coached football, girls' basketball, wrestling. He served in the Navy during World War II. He always had two or three books beside his chair. He got an evening and a morning newspaper and would read the morning, of course, in the morning before he went off to school, and the evening newspaper when he got home from school. He was a brilliant man. I could see that growing up. I could see that when I was in my teens. I could see that when I was in college. But when I was about 46, and he was something like 86, I'm sorry, I can't do the math in my head, that brilliance began to slip, that brilliance began to fade away. He grew confused. His personality even changed a little bit, it seemed. Looking at him, I could not see the dad I had known for almost the entirety of my life. It was almost as if there were someone different occupying his frail, enfeebled body. It was as if all the memories he had of our life together as a family, including my siblings, were being taken from him. But he was Dad, of course. Nothing changed that. I did not see him as he was. I had to look at him as he was at that time. But if I'd stopped there, if I'd remained stuck there, I would have despaired. Because this brilliant man was just going out in a cloud of fog and weakness. He would say the last few years of his life to me, "Pray that the Lord would take me home soon. Pray that I'll soon get to be with Jesus." And I would tell him, "Yeah, Dad, I'll pray that, but it's in his time, not yours." That's what I could see. His faith in Jesus. The past, I had seen it, but it may as well have not existed as far as Dad's Alzheimer's was concerned. I did not see my dad made better in this life, just as you have seen loved ones who have been ill not get better. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. Blessed are those who believe that Christ is working, accomplishing God's hidden purposes to us, but gracious purposes in the midst of things we do not understand. I'm not sure how I got here in today's sermon, but here I am, and now I'll, you know, it's like fighting your way out of a paper bag with a broom straw. Because I am a Christian, because Jesus is my Savior, and the Holy Spirit assures me of these things, I was able to believe that Dad would be raised up again following his burial 9 years ago, that Dad would be made completely new, that the dementia, the frailty of body would all be taken away and he would be restored to an infinitely better version of himself, because he would be like the glorified, resurrected Christ in his human nature. And that is what gives comfort at a time like this. You know the same. You have experienced the same. And isn't it an odd thing, but a blessed thing, that at the funeral of a loved one, or in the weakness and sickness of a loved one, we still have hope in Christ. We have God's word to cling to. That Jesus did, in fact, do many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which John did not write down. But these that he has written are written specifically for this purpose, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Not just life in this present world, but life in the world to come. Life unending, eternal life, life with God, life that partakes of the eternality of God. Life in which we ourselves will be free of doubt and weakness and questions and sorrows and regret. Life with Christ. Not stuck off in a tomb somewhere, but life with the risen Christ. In the eternality of the new heavens and the new earth, where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and now the peace of God which passes all human